It's the Memorial Day sales event at the DGDG Mazda stores. Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. Hey, it's Sean Del Grande, and we've got over 800 brand new Mazdas with outstanding incentives, like low monthly lease payments and low APR financing. Yep, it's just a great time to buy. So don't miss the Memorial Day sales event at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
Financing on approval of credit.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, what's happening, everyone? We are getting ready for the San Jose Sharks to give us some afternoon hockey on a Saturday, and then again tomorrow on a Sunday. Today it is 3 o'clock against the Blues, who will be playing for their playoff lives. And then on Sunday, it is going to be Arizona outside the playoff picture, but still going to be a tough opponent. And there are a couple unknowns for the San Jose Sharks, at least as of yesterday afternoon. And for full transparency, I am recording this on Saturday morning. But what we don't know right now is who is going to be your starting goalie for the Sharks today. We do know that David Quinn said that Devin Cooley will start one game this weekend, or will get a start this weekend, and that Colin Graf will play this weekend. Whether it's going to be Saturday today, whether it's going to be Sunday tomorrow, we don't know that as of yet, but it's pretty exciting nonetheless. One of the interesting things that was asked, considering how many teams were interested in him, was why he decided to sign with the San Jose Sharks. He said, "I think they were really honest with me. There are a lot of Northeast guys. As a Massachusetts guy, it's familiar. I thought that obviously added to the decision for sure. I think it was just the honesty of what they saw in me, what they thought I could do." One of the other things that Graf said that was relatively revealing was that he had never been west before of North Dakota, got into the Bay Area late on Thursday night around 11 o'clock, and then suddenly Friday he's practicing. Of course, this is just literal days after he had been eliminated from the NCAA tournament, but it's overall just a very exciting time for Graf. He says it's really exciting. I know they are both really good players, and that is with regard to playing on the line with Luke Cunning and William Eklund. He said that he also knows Henry Thrun faced him while he was at Quinnipiac playing in NCAA college hockey, and Thrun went on to say that he's trying to be a sponge to soak up as much information as he can, and he's also asking questions and talking to Thrun in particular because Thrun went through the same stuff a year ago that Graf is going through now. He also had another cool quote talking about some of the players he went against in Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini. He said both are really good players, like obviously stars in the making, if not stars now. He says it's really exciting. It's an exciting opportunity to be a part of it. He also said his family is flying in and will be in San Jose for the game today, but went on to say he's unsure if he's going to make his NHL debut against the Blues or against Arizona. And a thanks to Max Miller of the Hockey News for making all those quotes available in his article. Let's get a little bit more of the national perspective. Pierre LeBrun weighed in on why we do now see Colin Graf as a member of the San Jose Sharks.
Well, I can tell you it was a difficult decision for him and his family. I mean, they really deliberated over the last few days. They thought this decision might be taken earlier. And in fact, it was 26 teams, James, that have shown interest over the last year in trying to sign him. Because he did talk to some teams last spring, but he decided to go back and play another year of school. It came down to six teams, the Wild, the Penguins, and the Avalanche, among those six teams. And obviously in San Jose, ample opportunity, a team that's gutted its roster and trust in where that rebuild is going. And agent Jerry Buckley and the player doing Zoom calls with all six teams 2 weeks ago before finally deciding now. And whenever a top free agent like this signs, the question is, why wasn't he drafted to begin with? And part of the answer is this. 4.5 years ago, he was 5'8 and 140 pounds. Today, he's 6'1 and 195 pounds. That's Mike Johnson-esque as a late bloomer, and San Jose's happy to have him.
The aspect about him just shooting up in height is really, really fascinating because LeBrun said there that he was 5'8". I had heard that he was 5'7". Either way, not a big guy previously, but he added many inches, almost a half foot, jumped up to 6'1", added, you know, 40, 50 pounds somewhere in that vicinity, and now is 195. And I think that's something that I'm really focusing on is that Graf 6'1", 195 now, and then you see Philip Bisted 6'4", listed at 205, but I think he's bigger than that. The Sharks need size. Like, that's something the team is very much needing in their overall structure of their roster. They don't have a lot of big guys. Tomas Hertl talked about how when he got to Vegas, it was a little bit shocking because he was used to being one of the tallest guys in the Sharks dressing room. And yeah, they want to be a hard team to play against. That comes with size. You don't want to give up any speed, but you know, they're trying to make themselves a much, much denser, powerful, harder to play against team. Prospects like Graf and Bisted make that much more, not easier, but it's much more likely when you've got size that you're harder to play against. All right, we're going to get into tonight's opponent, the St. Louis Blues, as we are now joined by John Kelly, the TV play-by-play announcer for the St. Louis Blues. John, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
I'm doing Ted. How are you doing today?
Doing very well, and obviously the Sharks and the Blues are in two very different situations going into this matchup for the second time in just about a week's time, but, right now in San Jose, as you might imagine, we're rolling with the punches, but give me the 30,000-foot view on St. Louis right now. Panic isn't the right word, but I would imagine there is quite a deal of urgency heading into Saturday's game. Excuse me.
Yeah, the Blues have to basically win out and get some help, Ted. You know, they're 7 points behind the Kings, and obviously time is running out. They lost the really tough game last night in Nashville. Played really well. They had a season high of 47 shots, but the special teams were the difference as the Predators scored a couple of power play goals in the second period to take a 3-1 lead. But the Blues, laid it on the line in Nashville, didn't get away with the 2 points, and unfortunately, as I said, the Kings won. So now the Blues are certainly desperate to run the table, but as we know, the Sharks have beaten the Blues twice this year, so it's not going to be an easy game. And after that, the Blues go on to Anaheim. But certainly St. Louis, no question, has to run the table with six games to go.
What do you think has been the difference between the Blues and the Sharks this year in terms of why the Sharks have had success? Because on paper, obviously, the Blues are a different team. And I know that, I talked to Chris Kerber about this. Certainly the team was prepared to exact revenge against the Sharks last weekend, and I think there was a relative expectation to do so, but why do you think this team has been a bugaboo for St. Louis?
Well, I think quite honestly, not to be disrespectful of the Sharks, is that the Blues have just let their foot off the gas pedal and, taken them lightly. I think in the first meeting back in mid-November, the Sharks won 5-1. I think at the time, the Sharks had won two games. And the Blues are playing pretty well, and they came out here and just got outworked, plain and simple, and, fell behind and chased the game in 5-1. And then last week, it was sort of a different kind of game. The Blues had a really good first period, out shooting San Jose 11-3, but couldn't score. Mm-hmm. Blackwood was really good. And then I think in the second, San Jose put on their work boots and, got ahead by a couple, and then again the Blues were chasing the game. I don't know if the Blues let up or not in the second period, but they certainly weren't as good as they were in the opening period. But I don't care who it is. If you get behind by two or three goals to any team in the NHL, you're in big trouble. So I think for St. Louis, obviously, they have to be the hardest working team Saturday night because I don't think that's necessarily the truth in the first couple games. San Jose has outworked the Blues and deserved both victories.
What was the message from Drew Bannister after the loss and trying to know that, they're going up against a team that's beaten them twice already?
Well, I think the message is don't get at work. Don't put skill ahead of work. And, I think a lot of teams tend to do that. I mean, last Saturday when the Blues lost, that game to San Jose, it was a devastating loss because, if they had won that game, they would have been, I think, within 3 points of a playoff spot. But that same night, the Blackhawks won in Philadelphia. So, it's a tough league. And, the Sharks obviously have had a really tough season. But, late in the year, sometimes young players come up and even veterans have a lot to prove for next season. Everyone has something to play for, not just, the 2 points in the victory. But individually, everyone has something to play for. And, those teams that are out of the playoffs, and the Blues did it last year, quite honestly. They were basically out of the playoffs on March 1st, and they had a really good month of March and April. So sometimes when there's not as much pressure, players come in and do well, teams do well, And these games can be difficult.
Do you think that, I'm not trying to put this in the pejorative, but like could there be a positive if the team misses the playoffs? And I know that's still, you know, it's an if right now, but do you think that that's something that needs to happen so that they maybe take a look bigger picture, more globally at what's going on? Or are you of the opinion of no, Ted, it's never good to the playoffs? That's a naive question, of which I'm fine. I'm trying to be not devil's advocate, but I'm curious of hearing your take in both directions.
Well, I think, you know, based on where the Blues have been most of the season, they were a couple of games over 500. Of course, they made a coaching change in mid-December. You know, I think they felt for most of the season and even going into the season that they could contend for a wild card spot. And they have. I mean, last night's results obviously went against the Blues. But had they gone the other way and, you know, the Kings lost in San Jose and the Blues won their game, it would have been game on for a playoff spot. So I don't think you could say that now based on where the Blues have been all year. Now, conversely, a team like the Sharks and some of the other clubs that have struggled, like, you know, the Blackhawks and a few others, to me, you want to finish just as low as you can and get a higher draft pick. Mm-hmm. That's just the truth, right? But the Blues aren't in that position. And, you know, they're not in a rebuild. They're sort of in a retool. Mm-hmm. They still have five players left from their Stanley Cup team in 19. And they have five guys that have scored 20 goals this year. So, you know, they have some skill. So, they tried to make some moves last summer. They made the one trade to get Kevin Hayes. He's played pretty well. But they'll probably, you know, try to shuffle the deck a little bit again this summer. But a lot of the players that the Blues have under contract are under – you know, no trade deals. So it's hard to move players. So we'll see what happens. But right now, I think the Blues' focus is still on trying to make the playoffs, even though right now it's a long shot.
Is part of the narrative also just the Central being an absolute monster of a division this year? I mean, even Minnesota, you know, they are, a decent team, I would say. And, you know, coaching change there, same situation with you guys. Nashville has come on so strong. I don't think anybody specifically thought Winnipeg was going to have this good of a season. I think Colorado, there was the expectation. Dallas has been so good. I mean, we're looking at six teams that can put any team through a ringer on any night.
Yeah, it's a good point, Ted. I mean, the Blues are 10-13-1 in the division. So that's just not good enough. So, if you reverse that and go 13-10-1, you know, you obviously have six more points, mm-hmm. and you're right there. So, you know, big losses in the division have cost the Blues. I think the other thing that's really hurt them is that they've lost to teams that are well below them in the standings, like the San Jose Sharks. They've lost two games to Columbus this year. They lost a game to Chicago. I know you're not going to win every game, obviously, against teams that are on paper not as good as you. But to lose, you know, two to San Jose, and in particular two to Columbus, that just can't happen. And, you know, those points they lose here or there, you know, they're valuable, especially at this time of year. So I think that the division record was not good enough this year, hasn't been good enough. And, you know, losses, like I said, to some of those teams that have really certainly cost them a chance to get in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, what's the mood been around the team? Is there... you know, is there any doom and gloom, or is it still just kind of on to the next one? Because obviously, you know, Monday night had the quality win against Edmonton, and I thought that was a big bounce back after Saturday. And then, you know, I was pretty surprised last night. I expected you guys to keep rolling and then I saw the loss, and I was kind of at a loss at that, because I was really, just overall what I'd seen as of late, you know, I was like, okay, it was like St. Louis will bounce back. And then, you know, it sets up an intriguing matchup on Saturday, because the Sharks, you know, they're out of it clearly. But you know, it's hard to get a read on teams sometimes, because my joke, John, is that I'm a sports broadcaster because my greatest skill set is being wrong.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to predict. That's why I said on a radio show on Tuesday morning, the day after the Blues beat the Oilers, that's why people shouldn't bet on sports. You know, the Blues losing to San Jose at home in a must-win game, and then beating one of the best teams in hockey, the Edmonton Oilers, in a come-from-behind fashion. So, no, to answer your question, though, it's not doom and gloom. Quite honestly, the Blues over the last 3 weeks have played well. They're 8-3-1 in their last 12 games. So they really have. But they've had a couple of key losses, one to LA or to Las Vegas a few weeks ago, a game that they tied the score late with about 5 minutes left. And then they had a penalty shot in overtime by Buchnevich. He didn't score. And about 30 seconds later, Marchessault scored the winner. So that was a 2-point swing for the Blues. And then, as we said, they lose to San Jose, a game that they obviously had to have and should have had. And then last night's game against the Preds, they actually played, as I said, really well. The difference in the game, the power plays, and Saros was the better goaltender over Jordan Binnington. So, you know, I think most nights when you win the special teams battle and win the goaltending battle, you're going to probably win 95% of the time. And that's what happened last night. But again, the Blues had a season high of 47 shots, hit some goalposts, and Saros was remarkable at times. They played a really good game and left everything on the table in last night's loss. But that's just the way it goes, and now you have to rebound and hope you can win, obviously, the last six games.
I'm curious, just pulling back a little bit to see what your perspective is, because you have a bit more distance from the situation than we do locally. Just your thoughts on the Sharks and their going through the rebuild and the trading away of the, you know, the Tomas Hertl most recently, and last year it was Timo Meier at the deadline, and then last summer, obviously, Erik Karlsson. And, you know, obviously this is the team that the Blues beat on their way to the 2019 Stanley Cup title. And, you know, that was a good Sharks team at that time, but it shows you in the NHL, you know, the end comes fast for an aging franchise. So I'm curious, as you've watched the Sharks now, you know, get down to the studs with this rebuild, you know, what are the things you've heard from people? What are the questions you've had from the outside? Just because, like I said, it's different when you're living it day to day versus the viewpoint from someone like yourself who's in the Central Division, who has little literal geography between you and the actual team.
Well, first of all, Ted, the Sharks have had a great run, as we know. You know, you mentioned, you know, they went to the final back in 16. They beat the Blues in the third round, and then in 19,
yeah.
You know, they ran out of gas in that series. The Blues warmed down. The Blues had a really physical team, a great defending team, and obviously won the Stanley Cup. And they just wore the Sharks down. And, you know, I think for game six, they had, what, four or five players on the injured list. Yeah. It was tough for them to field the team. So, you know, any team that, you know, has a great run and then you lose the likes of, you know, Joe Thornton and then Pavelski, and now Couture has been hurt for most of the year. You know, I think the biggest thing to me when teams have big drop-offs, you know, a couple of things. You know, the players probably get older and they have to move on or retire, and you lose a lot of leadership. And to me, when you lost Pavelski, your team, that was a huge blow to me. I mean, he was such a leader, such a great player, still doing great things in Dallas, as we know. So I think when you lose all that leadership, it's really hard to get it back. And the Blues have lost some leadership. They lost their Conn Smythe Trophy winner, Ryan O'Reilly, who, of course, signed in Nashville. And, you know, other players like Ivan Barbashev now in Vegas. So it's tough to get it back. And, you know, you have to try to get the culture back. It's not easy. But that's the goal to me for San Jose is, number one, is to draft well. And I've heard great things about Mike Greer and a great person and things like that. But they've got to draft really well, obviously. And they've got to get the culture back and get good leaders in here to try and turn it around.
John, I will let you go because I know you've got stuff to do, but I appreciate your time. Unfortunately, I've got a Major League Soccer broadcast at the same time tomorrow, so I will not be in the building, but I will make sure that either Dan or Randy come by and give you a hard time for me. But thank you again, and I will bug you soon, all right?
Okay, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Again, that is John Kelly, the voice of the St. Louis Blues TV broadcast, joining us here on the Sharks Audio Network. And this is the first of the final seven games of the year, guys. So, yeah, we are getting to the end. You are looking at today against St. Louis, Sunday, tomorrow against Arizona, then Tuesday hosting Calgary, and then after that, only one home game left. God, I hate this time of year. But Thursday, they are at Seattle. That one is at 7. And then Saturday, it is back home hosting the Wild, the final home game of the year before they finish up the year at the Oilers on the 15th, and then at Calgary on the 18th. And then it is going to be a very, very interesting summer. I know that it'll be about a month's time from today when we'll find out, you know, when the Sharks are going to be drafting, if they're going to get the number one pick overall. So that's very exciting. And then it's going to be another big, big summer as we try and see what happens in the next stage of this rebuild for Mike Greer. David Quinn and the San Jose Sharks. But we are all out of time today. Be sure to join us at 2:30 for pre 3 o'clock go time right here on the Sharks Audio Network as San Jose plays host to St. Louis. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found for download under Sharks Hockey Digest on iTunes, Google, and Spotify. And on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app, presented by Western Digital. All music by Yogi Yend.